4th of July deals are on at Lowe's. Right now, get up to 40% off select major appliances, including the Samsung Bespoke French Door Refrigerator, featuring Beverage Center and Dual Ice Maker. Plus, when you buy more, you save more. Now's the perfect time to upgrade your home with top Samsung appliances and hot 4th of July savings at Lowe's. Valid through 7/9. See Lowe's.com for details. Savings vary based on purchase amount. Selection varies by location.
I'm Molly Wansell.
And I'm Jeffrey Wansell.
And for the last 16 years or thereabouts, we have been having lunch every Saturday, and often our conversation turns to murder.
And that's what's prompted us to launch this true crime podcast called Blood Ties.
Hi everyone, welcome back to the Blood Ties podcast. I'm Molly Wansell and I'm here with my father, Jeffrey Wansell.
Hello everyone, welcome back. Thank you for listening. In these bleak January, February days, it's always quite interesting to have something to listen to. I find myself, this is rather funny, because I have quite a long period between shows when I'm appearing at the moment, I listen to our podcasts.
Do you?
Yes.
Do you go back to like year one?
No, no, I know quite back, but I'm always astounded. They come entirely fresh to me.
They're like, oh, I didn't remember doing this at
yes.
all.
Yes, and it's really very...
I don't remember them though, all of them, and sometimes when we were doing the Nicola Payne one, when you started, I was like, have we done this before? But then it's just actually because it's just another case, not dissimilar.
Yeah, there are others. But no, I find myself sitting there in my dressing room listening to myself and you. And it's rather sweet. I find it very touching.
I listen to the real Hercule Poirot episode and then you just get
no,
your...
No, I don't. I haven't listened to that, actually. I listened to the one we did with Alan Johnson at CrimeCon. I've listened to all manner. I find it very soothing.
Do you?
Yes.
I think other people find our podcast soothing.
And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, I've got about 25 minutes to go, you know.
That's to all of you that listen to it to get to sleep.
Well, I'm quite happy with that. I'm more than. I certainly don't want you to stay awake or have nightmares or any of the above.
No nightmares.
But I'm always, it's kind of a little bit shocking to think we've done all these and they're there. They don't disappear.
I know. You're right. They are there.
Yeah. And I think that's an incredible achievement, that wonderful thing to have done. They don't disappear. It's there. So often, if you do television work, it just disappears.
Yeah, you can never see it again.
See it again. It just goes.
Gone are the days of taping things on VHS.
Oh, yes.
We would have been able to do that. Weirdly, it probably would have been... It's better in some ways.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that's a problem you have massively, as you seem to be repeated the whole time.
No.
There was a phase about 2 years ago where you were just on telly all the time.
Yeah. Yes, I often get home late when I get back from the theatre, and I find myself watching myself, and then I switch it off because I can't bear it.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's a thing to do at that time.
Britain's Most Evil I get a lot of, particularly when I was on tour. I used to get back to the hotel room, and I couldn't sleep, of course, and I'd turn on whichever channel it was, and there I would be. It was very eerie, but... It's quite frightening. But on the other hand, an enormous privilege to do this. And so thank you so much for listening. And
yeah, thank you for listening.
And I do listen myself. So there's something.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear that. Do let me know if there's anything I can improve on.
Oh, yes. We're always pleased to have notes.
Always.
Where we could be better.
But and other subjects that we could do, because we're doing another listener-suggested topic today.
We are indeed. This is a very good one. This is absolutely Molly's cup of tea.
This is spun off the back of my Christmas poisoner special.
Yes, this is another Victorian poisoner.
Hooray!
And it's a wonderful, wonderful case.
It's recommended by a listener called Ruth King. Thank you, Ruth.
Ruth, thank you, Ruth. It's a brilliant suggestion. I got in the wake of Molly's appeal for Victorian poisoners, I got another one from our lifelong supporter, Phil Brown.
Hi, Phil.
Who is, which I'm preparing for a future podcast.
Yeah. I mean, good for me. Can never get enough the old Vicky Poisoners.
Well, I can assure you, you will enjoy this one.
So are we calling this the case of Charles Bravo?
I think we should call it the mysterious death of Charles Bravo.
The mysterious death of Charles Bravo. Okay, well then, here we go.
Okay. Charles Bravo was a British criminal barrister, born on the 30th of November 1845. He was rich and successful. He was actually born Charles Delaunay Turner in St Pancras, London, but later took the surname Bravo from his stepfather, Joseph. Went to Trinity College, Oxford, became a barrister, and married a wealthy lady called Florence on the 7th of December, 1875. So we're talking about a 30-year-old man. Now, at the time, Bravo presented to the world as an upright citizen, loving husband, kindly, a member of a respected profession, criminal barrister. It was to emerge later that he was in fact a mean, violent, controlling, bullying husband. Florence was rich. And when they married, thanks to something which had recently been passed in Parliament called the Married Woman's Property Act 1870, she decided that she would hang on to her money. In other words, not give it over to her husband, Charles. This clearly did not fit in with Charles Bravo's plans for the future. It's probably appropriate to say that shortly after the marriage in December 1875, Florence started to take ill. In fact, she got ill repeatedly in the months that followed. She had all sorts of problems with her digestion. But, and here comes what I think is the most delicious and Victorian twist. 4 months after the marriage, Florence didn't die. Charles died.
Ooh.
There were all sorts of hypotheses at the time about what happened. Well, there's no doubt at all that Charles was taken ill, severely ill, and in fact he was so ill for 3 days he was visited by very respected physicians. They lived in a house called the Priory in Balham, which is still there. It was a big house in South London, very prosperous, respected. And he was, in many ways, a very respectable young man. He was only 31. It took him 3 days to die, and he died in the most dreadful agony. He'd been poisoned, it turned out, with antimony.
Antimony? I've not heard of that before.
Well, absolutely. Wikipedia, I'm sure, will provide you with a good explanation.
Antimony.
Now, all sorts of things began to happen in the wake of his death. I mean, one of the physicians who visited him was Sir William Gull, the Queen's physician, who you may remember was one of the people pointed at in the case of Jack the Ripper sometime later.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
All the physicians that examined him and tried to treat him without success, agreed that he'd been poisoned with antimony.
Oh, just to be clear, antimony is a chemical element with the atomic number 51. It says here, symptoms of severe antimony poisoning include vomiting, diarrhea, irregular respiration and hypothermia.
Molly's pulling a particularly unpleasant face.
Sounds a bit grim.
Grim.
Yike.
Well, in the wake of Charles Bravo's death, not one but two inquests were held. The first inquest returned an open verdict. Not very conclusive, in other words. The second inquest was so scandalous that women and children were prohibited from attending, especially when Charles's wife Florence was testifying. The second inquest returned a verdict of willful murder. But by whom? It had been established that Florence had been having a relationship with a doctor considerably older than her called Dr. James Gull, a relation to Sir William Gull. Indeed, she'd been married before, you may remember. Well, I didn't tell you, but I will tell you now. She was married before to a man called Alexander Ricardo, but the marriage ended when she was widowed in what were called mysterious circumstances.
Oh, hold on.
In 1871. So we have a wealthy widow, Florence.
She hasn't got any reason to kill anyone if she's got cash, other than he sounds like a nasty old brute.
That was true.
And there's a nasty old brute. That's not great.
It would be fair to say, too, that her husband, the first husband, Alexander, was a violent alcoholic and he had had a string of affairs.
Hmm.
She, too, had the affair with Dr. James Gull. Now, Dr. James Gull and Florence both gave evidence at the second inquest, which returned the verdict of willful murder, but did not identify who the murderer might be. So now we enter the world of speculation. No one has ever been charged and convicted with the murder of Charles Bravo.
Mm.
So let's start with some of the hypotheses. One of the most popular at the time, and I think I find this almost delicious, was that Bravo was trying to kill his wife steadily with small doses of antimony, which explains why she was so chronically ill throughout the months of their marriage.
Yeah.
It was a form of a tartar emetic he was giving her, which contained antimony. But while treating himself for toothache with laudanum, a familiar use of kind of morphine at the time, he mistakenly swallowed some and took some of the tartar emetic, believing that it would make him vomit.
Okay. I see that as a hypothesis.
Mrs. Cox, their housekeeper, suggested this explanation to the police at the time, but then changed her story, perhaps to implicate Florence, or perhaps to implicate Dr. James Gully, or perhaps just she didn't know whether it was the right story or not. So, the first hypothesis is
self-inflicted error.
Self-inflicted error, although he's trying to poison his wife because she's kept the money.
Yeah.
Okay, that's one. Other theories abound. One is suicide. Bravo couldn't stand it any longer, was fed up. He had a lot of debts, it'd be fair to say. Okay.
Okay. Probably the other one less painful ways to do it.
Yes. Another is murder by Mrs. Cox, the housekeeper, because Bravo had been threatening to sack her. And she had three children, and nowhere else to go, and didn't have any prospect of getting another job easily.
I mean, yes.
Three, murder by Florence herself.
That's four.
Sorry, four.
Murder by Florence, yeah.
Murder by Florence. And five, murder by a groom that Bravo had sacked from the Priory in the previous few weeks.
What about the affair fellow, James?
And six is Dr. James Gully.
And he's a doctor. Is it the sort of thing doctors have access to?
Yes.
Antimony?
Yes. So here we have what I think is a really good Victorian mystery.
Yeah, it's good. I can see it on a TV show.
You know, another little detail to add. Florence was pregnant when they married in December 1875, but miscarried. She became pregnant very shortly afterwards and again miscarried for the second time. This is before the death of Charles Bravo.
Yeah, but if she's being poisoned, that's not surprising.
Not entirely, but there was speculation at the time that she may have been frightened that were she to become pregnant for a third time, it might see her lose her life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt at all that Mrs. Cox really needed the job. She told the police, as well as the theory about him taking something by accident, that he talked of suicide, but then went on to add, but he could have poisoned himself accidentally. Dr. James Gully, the much older lover of Florence, was effectively ruined by the second inquest in July 1876, when both Florence and Mrs. Cox gave evidence, which was damning of his behaviour.
That's a bit unfair, unless it was founded.
Well, so now we have the most delightful Victorian mystery. Who did what to whom? And why? Well, let's look at the motives. Charles Bravo had every motive to try and poison his wife. After all, she was keeping her money and wouldn't let him anywhere near it.
True.
Florence certainly had a motive to kill Charles Bravo.
Because he was a horrible bullying brute.
Because he was a bully, violent, you know, and all the rest. And she had a bit of a backstory in that her first husband died in, quotes, mysterious circumstances.
Yeah.
Mrs. Cox, the housekeeper, is almost like a character out of Daphne du Maurier. She's got all sorts of motives. She doesn't want to lose her job. If she can help to frame Florence, whom she might have thought did it. She might have wanted to suggest that Charles Bravo wanted to commit suicide because he thought there might be money in the will.
Oh, yeah.
The groom is a pretty unlikely one.
Suicide feels a bit unlikely to me also.
Yes, and well, there is Dr. James Gully, the lover, Florence's lover. So, without it sounding too much like an episode of Cluedo, this has got a great many possibilities in it. And what's even more amusing, or if you like, bleak, is that you would have thought that Charles Bravo was the poisoner who ended up poisoned.
Well, it does make sense that maybe he was trying to poison Florence and then she was like, no way, I've done this before. I can play your own game.
But it is quite a stretch to presume that after he swallowed laudanum to deal with his toothache, he takes an emetic containing antimony and he's thinking it's going to make him vomit and it'll all be all right.
Well, if he had been poisoning Florence and he'd just been giving her enough, or what he'd given her had only given the vomiting and symptoms and stuff, then there is the possibility he thought it would be okay because if he's repeating what he's done to her and that's what happened to her, perhaps he genuinely thought, instead of thinking like, how might the antimony react with the laudanum? Because it could have been the combination of the two things.
Oh, yes, it could. I couldn't agree more, absolutely.
That is possible. Because, you know, it's like, what's that thing they put in cocaine? Fentanyl or something. That yes. Sometimes, and if you have it in there, it will kill you.
But it's all conducted in a very substantial house in South London before Balham became inhabited by a great many.
It was more a village then back then, wouldn't it have been?
And this was the big house.
It's a pretty swanky place to live.
The Priory. It's still there.
Yeah.
But all this conducted in the 1876, at a time of really quite a lot of wealth in London, there is a developing upper class. Being a criminal barrister is quite well paid. In fact, in many ways, very well paid.
Developing middle class.
Maybe.
Upper middle class.
Upper middle class, okay. But he was only 31 when he died.
I'd like to think that he was trying to pull a fast one on Florence and she was like, nah, not happening.
Okay. I'd like to think, because I've always thought of poisoners being often women, I've often thought that Florence had worked out what he was trying to do and decided...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, you were saying the same thing?
Yeah, I'm saying the same thing.
Oh, well, that's encouraging.
I agree.
You know, Florence had taken her revenge.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
She was like, I can play you at your own game here.
Yeah, and I'll bump you off. Perhaps with the help of the housekeeper, who can tell?
But I think it's weird then that she like called out the lover if he ended up with no proper reputation.
I think people decided that this had to be admitted. I don't think she volunteered it.
Okay, cool. Yeah.
In fact, I very much doubt she volunteered it.
That's
but
sad.
There you are. What a lovely, intricate little case.
What a case. The mysterious death of Charles Bravo. Charles Bravo is a good name as well.
It is. It's much better than Turner, which was what his original name was.
Bravo.
Yeah, I mean, it is. It's got everything.
It's got it all. Got everything you need.
Multiple suspects.
It is a perfect whodunit.
Yeah.
All we need to do is solve it and then we can put it on the telly.
Yes. Well, it's a bit, quite a number of years later, 150 years later, yeah. Nearly.
No one really wants to watch anything about posh people poisoning each other these days either.
Well, I suppose they don't. But I think it's got immense interest. I was going to say charm, but it's not charming. It's in many ways horrible. He died a very painful death. But do you know, he never once, in all the 3 days he was suffering and these physicians were visiting the Priory and talking to him, he never once said what he thought happened.
Because if he did accidentally take it to counterbalance the laudanum, wouldn't he say? But then maybe that would reveal the fact that he was trying to poison Florence, so he wouldn't say.
He wouldn't say. But what is absolutely certain is that at no point during those three...
And he didn't go, oh, it's Mrs. Cox, she's got it in for me.
Yes, or...
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable Pocket Hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free Pocket Pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
It's Florence. She's trying to kill me.
Or it's Mr. What's his name? James.
Oh, it's Dr. Gully who's angry with me because I stole his lover.
I mean, other way around, but yeah.
But don't you just love it?
Yeah, it's a good one.
He never says, he never accuses anyone, nor does he admit that he's trying to kill himself. In spite of being in obviously in agony for 3 full days.
Very odd. I feel like you would say if you did it imposed on yourself. Because if you say, this is what's in my system, then people can be like, cool, we can or cannot do something about that. Because when you actually do have poison in your system and your system and you doctors don't know what's wrong, they need to work it out to work out what to, the antidote will be.
Yes. Antidote to antimony.
Something for, what's that TV show? House.
Yeah.
That Hugh Laurie show.
Well, there you have the disappearance of...
No.
Sorry, the mysterious
death
of Charles
Bravo. Thank you, Ruth,
Thanks, Ruth.
Suggestion. Much appreciated.
And such an interesting case, too.
That's a good one.
I found another one, as I said, suggested by
Phil Brown. Phil. Well, we'll get to that.
Yeah.
Shortly.
In a week or three.
Mm-hmm.
Mo's still nursing her hand.
I'll be fully recovered by the time this airs. So it's fine. Can't complain. Could be much worse.
You can always complain. People are allowed to complain.
Could be much worse.
So what else is on the horizon, Mo? Any great, exciting new developments? Are people making interesting shows? You know, they're in the works or thinking about? Or
Yeah. It's a busy time for my casting directors, so people must be making things.
Yeah, the industry seems to be busy.
They're coming on to things, coming on to new projects of various kinds. All sorts. Got a book adaptation. I've got one about young kids starting in grime music. I've got one, a sort of musical TV version of Bridgerton. All sorts.
Ah, well... It's all very exciting.
It's all happening. All happening out there on the small screen. Don't know, I haven't done much deals for the big screen.
Don't think there have been many deals for the big screen.
Except for Marvel. But even then, a lot of that's the TV shows now because they do spin-offs of
well,
the films.
Well, Spider-Man seems to be doing well.
Yeah. Everyone's like that, I think.
Yeah.
I want to go and see Belfast.
Do you?
Yeah. I'm going to go and see Licorice Pizza next week.
Oh, I'd like to see Licorice Pizza.
Mm.
I can probably take or leave Belfast.
Can you?
I'm.
But I think Ken's probably a bit indulgent also.
Yeah, I'm not a massive fan of Ken.
Not a huge fan of Ken. My friend Emily cast it, though, and she got nominated for a BIFFA for it. And
oh, that's good.
She's great, so I'll see it for that.
Well, she cast Kieran Hines, didn't she?
Yeah.
Who is, I've always thought was wonderful.
Kieran Hines is amazing. He was in that play with Tom Moore at the National.
I just think he's ferociously good. I mean,
VV good.
Yeah, I loved him in Munich.
Yes.
All that time ago.
VV good, V good.
With Daniel Craig before Bond.
VV good. Our friends in the North, Daniel Craig before Bond.
Hmm.
That was a long time ago.
Plodding on, and I finish, and then we go to Stockton-on-Tees to do our last performance.
Out on the road again.
Rather like that. Quite fun.
Going up to Stockton. Quite a long way, though, isn't it? It's like a 4-5 hour drive from
it's
here.
It's a longish old drive, yeah. And, of course, inevitably, it's bound to be snowing. You know?
Probably. It'll be cold, that's for sure.
Yeah. But on the other hand... We sold quite a lot more tickets this week, apparently. So, I don't know. It's good.
That's great. That means that people read the reviews and stuff. It's great. And I think it's in London anyway. People, you know, I know Omicron isn't good. But, you know, the fact we did have that giant wave before Christmas, I think it makes people feel a bit more secure now, because it's like, okay.
Well, I think so.
Well, it's happening.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Otherwise, got other things to get on with. Things to look forward to, I hope. So I'm hopeful about 2022.
Very good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, thank you to all the people who help us, to our producer Sam Brain, who does everything, to my brother Dan, who did our music, my friend George, who did our caricature, to Audio Boom for hosting us, to Jeffrey for all the hard work, and to you, the listeners, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. I completely echo what Mo says. We are nothing without you. And I also always thank Mo, who came up with this idea, which has been an absolute delight in the twilight of my years. Loved every minute of it. So thank you. And as I always say, do please be careful out there.